In this third part of a four-part interview series, Glenn Neely answers questions about how his NeoWave predictions and market readings compare to other Elliott Wave analysts, including comparisons between today and the 1930s Depression era, as well as long-term predictions into the 2020s and 2030s.
I don't know if you follow the thoughts of other Elliott Wave analysts that most people think that the Great Depression was a grand super cycle way too, and while there's some differ that the grand super cycle way 4 started at 2000 or 2008. Some people might move their chart a little bit differently. But anyway, for the last decade or so, as well as this coming decade, that most Elliott analysts think we are in grand super cycle way 4. How do you feel about the influence of government policy? Because back in the Great Depression, the government policy was rather hawkish, and they are not as easing as the Federal Reserve today. Do you think that has anything to determine the wage structure at the time of wave two, which is a severe crash of, I believe, around 80% in the stock market, while this time the worst was around 60%.
Well, I first of all don't really have the same long-term wave count as virtually any other orthodox Elliott Wave analyst, and I never have. As far as the government policy goes, government policy is just a reflection of current mass psychology and what the public is willing to tolerate and what people believe will work or not work. So at each point in a market's progression, whether it's wave 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, you're going to have different psychological forces that allow more or less to happen, where it's more lenient financially or more tight financially. So this should not be at all like it was in the Great Depression, because it's a completely different point in the wave structure, completely different psychology. Generally speaking, two waves are going to be more survival-oriented, extreme fear of the future, lots of concern and worry, where fourth waves are much more consolidation of power and influence and trying to control things beyond your borders, imperialism, things like that are much more common in fourth, very large fourth waves, instead of it being more survival-oriented like a two-wave in the Great Depression period, which, again, I don't think it was the end of a two-wave, but it was part of a two-wave.
So you believe that after wave 4, we should have a wave 5 coming. If you do, when do you expect that to start?
Based on current evidence, the earliest we can expect the correction that started in 2000, which I do think is a fourth wave, the earliest that will finish is around 2020. And the latest is around 2030. So somewhere between 10 to 20 years from right now, we should finish this sideways correction, which we've been in for already 10 years. And when that's over with, then we should start what should be one of the greatest bull markets of all time, one of the most exciting periods in human history, and that should carry the Dow, like I've said, at the back of my book now for 20 years, well above 100,000, probably more in the 200,000 or 300,000 range, but that's between, say, 2020, 2030 is the beginning, and should peak out somewhere around 2065, give or take maybe 5 or 10 years. So it'd be an incredible multi-decade bull market, bringing the stock market to heights way beyond where we currently are.
So you believe it's going to be even more powerful than wave 3, which is typical,
yes,
the strongest wave?
Well, wave 3 is only the strongest wave when it's the longest. If it's not the longest, then the strongest wave is whichever wave is the longest. So in this particular case, it looks like wave 5 is going to be the longest, and so it'll be almost like a blow-off, similar to maybe the Renaissance period in human history back in Europe, where there's just an incredible period of discovery and technology and science and so forth.
And then a little gloomy question, what happened after that? Will we have a severe wave 2 down?
Typically, as you might know, people always call for the end of a trend way before it actually ends, and by the time it ends, then they no longer believe it or they just give up on it. So purely based on the fact that most people have been fearful of the future for decades, you know, you have these films about the end of the world coming out all the time, the fact that that's sort of background noise is always that the future is going to be worse than the past is a sign that the trend is still up. And until that changes and you start seeing, you know, movies and shows and talk about the sky is the limit. And if you remember the internet boom, I mean, it was a period there where anything was possible and, you know, you become a billionaire overnight just by having a good idea, that kind of thing. Until that changes and the focus is more forward-looking and optimistic, we aren't going to be at the end of the super long multi-decade or millennium, 100-year kind of cycle. It should be a very exciting, very long, drawn-out period. And then finally, the psychology should change to where everyone believes that the good times will never end and the future looks better than the past. And then that's when you know you're at the end of a very big trend in the market.